When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Goldmine Podcast. This is Pat Prince, editor of Goldmine. And Goldmine is the music collecting magazine, and it has been since 1974. One of the longest running music magazines in the U.S., in fact, and we're celebrating 50 years this year. You can go to goldminemag.com and find out more, or go to our store, shop.goldminemag.com, where the staff curates vinyl and collectibles just for you, the collector, to buy and collect. Now, for this episode, we're going to be talking record collecting. I mean, what else? And more with singer Dennis Lyxzén of Swedish punk band Refused. But also, he was in the International Noise Conspiracy Invasion, and most recently, Fake Names, which has a more classic punk sound. Dennis is a huge record collector, if you don't know, and even has his own YouTube channel called Dennis Deep Cuts. So check that out. Do a search for it. And Dennis Deep Cuts talks about Dennis's obsession with records, amongst other things. It's a must for record geeks. And it's not all about just collecting punk rock records. He collects, he's into all genres. But he does like to collect punk, especially going to record stores and looking for local upcoming punk bands. And he's a huge collector of 7-inch singles. As he travels on tour, he goes to all these record stores and looks for vinyl. We'll be joined by Goldmine contributor Alan Brostoff, who writes about record collecting and punk rock on goldminemag.com. So we'll be right back with Dennis and Alan after this short break.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Dennis, it's a privilege to meet you, man.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys as well.
Yeah, and I just checked out Fake Names. I haven't, listened to any of this stuff, so I liked it very much.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a fun little band.
Yeah, is Refuse still going on? Is it?
Yeah, we are on a break at the moment because we put out an EP at the tail end of, well, in 2020, we put out an EP. And that we put our new record right before the pandemic, and it kind of knocked the wind out of our sails a little bit. But yeah, we're still a band, even though we haven't done anything in a while. So I think we're just on a break, and then hopefully soonish we'll record a new record. We'll see.
Very cool. So Alan, you're taping?
I am. I've got it recording.
Cool. All right, great. How are you?
I'm doing good. And Dennis, I know you do a lot of interviews, and so you probably don't remember, but I had the opportunity to sit down with you at Riot Fest when you were with the guys for Fake Names. And I got to tell you, out of all the interviews I did, you were by far the most engaged person in record collecting. And Pat, I don't know if you can see behind him, he's got quite an amazing record collection, and he also does a lot of social media around records. And I thought we need to let more people in the United States know about Dennis.
Yeah.
And his YouTube channel, where he talks about records and the impact that records have on people. And so I wanted to thank you again for taking the time to talk to us.
No, it was great. I remember that interview very well because, we got asked if we got the interview schedule, and then someone said, this interview, it's like a record collector magazine. And I'm like, hello? So I put my hand and I said, if we're going to talk about record collecting, I might be the guy. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, man.
Yeah.
When did you start collecting, and were your parents collectors of records, and did they pass on the torch to you?
A little bit. I mean, it wasn't, when you're young and you're not collecting, because I'm 51, so I'm still, old enough to, if you wanted to hear music, you had to buy the records, basically.
Right.
So I bought a lot of records early on. I started buying records. My dad had and has a pretty decent record collection, a couple of hundred records. So when I discovered music, I stole a couple of records from him, but he wasn't really into what I was into. But I think I bought my first record at the age of 9, and then I just never stopped buying records. And then 20 plus years ago, I became like the guy that buys 7-inches for, annoyingly expensive money. But I've been buying records my entire life. I always just bought vinyl. I have some CDs, but that's because people gave me CDs. But yeah.
Have you counted how many records you have now?
Yes. I have everything on Discogs. I guess it's because it's like Tidal. So there's a couple of DVDs. There's a couple of VHS tapes, tape cassettes, and some CDs. But I think it's almost up to 15,000 titles.
Wow.
So it's a pretty decent collection.
Now, would your fans be surprised by what you have in your collection? Or is it cover all genres?
I think if you have 15,000 titles, it can't be only punk rock, like.
Right.
But yeah, I think that some people might be a bit surprised about the stuff that I like. I do everything with my YouTube channel, all the different bands that I've had. I think people know that I have a very, very broad taste in music, and I listen to pretty much anything, basically.
And actually, I'd like to touch on that for a second, because I think the most recent show that you posted was around Hate. And I was interested in, that's such a broad topic. And I was like, well, I wonder how he's going to take this in a different direction. And it kind of ties into Pat, because what Pat just asked you, because right off the bat, you start talking about how you have, I think the fourth largest collection of music in your collection is Depeche Mode, and how most people wouldn't associate you with liking Depeche Mode, but that you really like them. But maybe can you touch on that, on the topic of hate in music? Because I thought it was a great story.
Thank you. Well, I you know, when you're young, you're so defined by your scene or your subgenre. And someone that grew up in punk and hardcore, it was like, for a lot of people, it was so important to you know, plant the flag and be like, this is what I am. And then you hate on stuff just because of what you think you are. And I think it's like, I just wanted to make an episode where I listed excuses that people use not to check out music, basically. And it's like, oh, I hate that type of music, or, you know, like, And I wanted to look at my own, you know, the way I've been listening to music and some examples of bands that I hated, but for the pettiest and dumbest of reasons that had nothing to do with the music, just some fucking made up stuff in my head. I'm like, well, I hate those guys. And then I sat down and listened to them. I'm like, oh, this is great music. Why did I hate these guys again? And I think we all do that. I think we limit ourselves and the way we, you know, consume music just by nonsense, basically. I wanted to touch on that and kind of give it a twist, because I want my YouTube channel to be insanely positive. I think there's so much hate out there, and there's so much, you know, people have so strong opinions, and you know, I just wanted to be positive and talk about stuff that I love and stuff that's inspiring. And so I just wanted to do an episode based on hate.
And Depeche Mode's lyrics are very deep.
They're great.
Dark. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned with Depeche Mode because I grew up, when I was a teenager, I was a heavy metal kid. Like, you know, yeah. I had long hair and I was into heavy metal. Yeah. And if you grew up in Sweden, like, you were either into heavy metal or you were into synth music, which was Depeche Mode. And so I assumed, because heavy metal kids were like working class kids, I assumed that Depeche Mode was like upper class, bougie, you know, right-wing people.
Yeah.
And then when I discovered, like, oh no, they're all working class dudes and they're all like leftists, and I'm like, oh shit. But I mean, that took me a long time, because I had this preconceived idea about what I thought they were. I'm like, oh, that's what they are, that's what they represent. And then I'm like, oh, I was so in the wrong.
Yeah, I kind of grew up the same way, where you know, I was introduced to music with, you know, the classic artists like the Stones and whatever. But then in high school, got into the metal clique, right? And once you're into the metal clique, no one wants to admit that they're into anything else.
Yeah.
They like anything else, or else that will ruin your, you know, your cred, right?
Yes.
So you're always trying to find out like the heaviest, the coolest band out there. But then after a few years, you know, you mature and you realize, you know, you're not listening to music to impress anyone but yourself, right? So
yeah.
That's when, you know, that's where my record collection started to really grow. You know, because I started picking everything up from jazz to, you know, Devo to, you know, anything that I liked. I didn't care what people said. So,
I think it's a natural response to tribalism, that you want to be a part of the gang, you want to be part of the clique, and you say, okay, this is what we're into now. So I'm also into this. That's the same thing as being a musician. Like, you can't really write music with other people in mind. You have to write it because you love it. If you're lucky, it will connect with people. And the same with listening to music. I think there's still a lot of gatekeepers out there that are like, this is, you know, real punk, or this is, but I love music. And I think music as a concept is so interesting and so fascinating that I can almost get into anything if I find the right, the right key to get into it. And I just love that idea that it's what we make out of it, you know?
Now, traveling through Europe, do you find record stores different in each country? Are there little changes? In America, for instance, if you go from state to state, you'll notice different things. And
yes,
Alan can tell you that one record store in West Virginia has a drive-through. So
really? That's fantastic. I think record stores across the world are the same sort of nerdy outposts for men like us everywhere. But the interesting part is when you travel to the roads less traveled, I always try to buy local stuff. I mean, last year we went to Croatia and I went to the punk record store. I'm like, what's some good 80s Croatian punk rock?
Right.
And he gave me some stuff. I'm like, it's perfect. So that's what I try to do when I travel in Europe. Like, you know, you go to France, like let's dig out some old French punk or some chanson singers or whatever it is. And try to be a bit specific for the countries that I travel in. And I mean, you know, when you go to the States, if you're lucky, you can find some good American hardcore or, you know, the kind of stuff that I collect. So I definitely do have different things in mind depending on the countries that I go to. Yeah.
And there are definitely some great, you said you collect 7-inch records, or definitely some great punk on 7-inch records.
Yes.
Besides what people think of it being a commercial 45 single.
Yeah.
Because they were cheaper to make, right?
Yeah.
It's
expensive to buy.
Well, the thing that, do you get into different pressings, like say a pressing from France, a pressing from Germany, a pressing from the UK of the same album or the same band?
A little bit. When it comes to the punk and hardcore stuff that I collect,
yeah,
I like the original pressings. I like if it's an American band, I want the US pressing. When it comes to just buying good records, not so much. I mean, I'm not that type of, but yes, when it comes to Minor Threats, you want the first pressing original, you know, like that, but that's like the really niche nerdy collecting. But then when I buy records, I mean, if I can find original pressings, that's kind of what I prefer. But all in all, I some records is great. You just want the record. I don't really care. I mean, I have friends that are like, I'm only buying the Doors, the UK mono pressings. And I'm like,
Because traveling through Europe, I could really geek out. Like, for instance, go to Germany, get a 7-inch pressing of the Stones of a song, then go to France, try to get the same song, different sleeve. You know, that's something where in the States, you know, you don't have that experience. But, you know, going through different record stores in Europe, I'm sure that would be a cool experience, trying to get different things like that.
Yeah, and it is cool, as you said, like you can have it's like a Sex Pistols 7-inch, but then the French cover was very different than the German cover, and then the UK, they didn't have a cover at all. You know, like, that is kind of cool that you can find those little sleeves that are different, basically. So that's kind of cool.
So is there a recent band that you discovered? You said you're going to a store and ask, what's a local band? Is there a band that you recently discovered?
I don't know. I mean, local bands, I just go to the shows and buy records at the shows.
Yeah.
We have two decent secondhand record stores in town. They're decent, not great. And unfortunately, they don't have almost any new music at all. It's just secondhand stuff. And I try to buy a lot. I think last year I bought 120 LPs that was released in 2023. Mm-hmm. So I really try to make an effort to buy new music. I think there's so much great music out there. I go to the shows, I buy the records, and then, you know, just I make an effort, especially when I go to the States. I was in the States twice last year and just go to the record store and like, what's the new punk stuff? And just trying to buy a lot of cool new punk stuff. A band that I recently discovered is a band called Zulu. It's like a African-American hardcore band from LA. And their latest record came out last year. It's like one of my favorite records of a long time. It's fantastic, but it's super aggressive, power violence metal hardcore. But it's great.
Did you get that in LA?
No, I think I ordered it somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
did I have like I have maybe 500-600 titles on Discogs that I sell.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I have this economy where after 3 months, I'm like, some money, I'll order some records. and it doesn't affect my you know, like my personal economy that much.
I think we all do that.
Yeah.
We recycle, right? Especially if it's something that, well, I could probably live without this, get something new instead. I know Alan is a huge punk collector, and I think he does that, right?
Yeah, I try not to get rid of too much stuff, but yeah, I will cycle through. I try to make sure that my record collecting budget does not impact my household budget.
Yes, we
have all. The wife appreciates that.
Yeah, we all struggle with that. Trying like, you know, my wife's like, "How much money did you spend on that record?" I'm like,
Dennis, I do want to touch on fake names just a little here because Pat mentioned it, and I rated it as one of my top 10 albums of last year on my top 10 list. I really enjoyed it, and I think I shared that with you when I saw you at the show, but. You know, it's been labeled a super group. And so I guess what I'd like to ask you is, as the front man for a super group, do you ever have that epiphany where you look to the right, you look to the left, and you're like, wow, these are some pretty cool guys I'm up here on stage with. I mean, these guys have a lot of history. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Minor Threat, Bad Religion, SOA, Girls Against Boys, Fugazi, Rites of Spring. I mean, that's just a small sampling of the bands that these guys that you're playing next to have been in.
Yeah.
So
every day when I hang out with them, that's what I think. I'm like, even in the van, I'm like, holy shit, that's the Fugazi drummer. What's he doing here? It is interesting because it's my, that's my record collection, you know, that's the stuff and punk and hardcore stuff that I grew up with. So when they asked me, Brian asked me, like, do you want to, he said, me and Michael Hampton from SOA, Faith, Embrace have a new band. Do you want? I'm like, yes, yes. I don't care. It's like, if they ask me to sing, I'll sing. So there's been a bunch of times where I'm like, what am I doing here? And we played in DC last year, which was wild. It's like the Black Cat, a sold out show. The other two, it was Hammered Hulls, which is also a bit of a sort of, you know, all-star DC band, and there's a band called The Owners with people from like Youth Brigade and Iron Cross. I was the only person on stage who wasn't from DC, and it was like one of those, like, I'm like, this is insanely surreal, because I'm this kid from Sweden that grew up with Minor Threat and Dag Nasty and SOA and Faith, and here I am singing with these people. So on a pretty daily basis, I'm blown away by the fact that they want me to sing in their band.
Well, and I know Pat touched on asking you if there was going to be any more music from your Swedish band, but I would ask, are we going to get any more Fake Names music?
Yes, yes. We actually had a band meeting last week where we discussed recording a new record. So we'll see. I mean, it's early days, but I'm always busy. Like, it's interesting. I have one of those years where I'm not touring that much, which it's usually like 60, 80 to 100 shows a year. But 2024 is a bit weird because I don't have a lot of touring, but I have three recordings with three different bands. So I'm just, you know, I'm writing a lot of music.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Alan.
I was just going to say, you know, and I apologize because we didn't even touch on what might be one of the most crowning achievements in Dennis's life. And I would love to ask him about this. Pat, I don't know if you knew, but in, what was it? He was voted the sexiest man in Sweden by Elle magazine in 2004. So I just wanted to ask, how did that impact you when you found that out?
I mean, honestly, very little, but it's like one of those funny stories you can tell people where you're like, oh, I was the sexiest man in Sweden a long time ago. But it was, they called me up and they asked, we're doing this thing where like the man of the year is how they sold it. So I went down to Stockholm, I had some interviews. And as I was doing the interview, they said, oh, it's actually the sexiest man of the year. I'm like, what? and we're not sure you would have accepted if we said it was the sexiest man. But it was just one of those, like, just fucking roll with it. And it's like a good story. Didn't really affect my life too much.
That's cool.
I have a huge medal made that I would like wear around all the time.
When you go out to the bars, you're like, hey, do you know?
That's right.
Pick up this guy, yeah.
My license plate would say it on my car. I mean, I would be, everybody would know.
Hey, Dennis, do you write most of the lyrics yourself with bands? Do you do most of the songwriting? And I know that just listening to your music, it's cool that you keep on, you're socially aware. And the scary part about the times we're living on is the political extremism all over the globe, and it needs to be kept in check. Do you continue writing in that vein?
Yeah, I always done. I mean, I grew up with punk, and yeah. I grew up with the idea that music should be some form of resistance or rebellion, yeah, or whatever you want to call it. So I was been writing that way, and I always write from my own sort of ideas and perspective. And as you said, like, the world is in turmoil. Yeah. It's easy to write songs. It's frustrating that we still have to write about these things. But yeah, I think that most of my bands deal with these things because it's something that I think a lot about. So it's just natural for me. And it's not like I woke up one day and say, oh, I have this great idea, I'm going to sell millions of records by being this Swedish pinko person. But it's just who I am and just how I view the world. And I try to give my perspective in music, you know?
Yeah, and in a world where countries own citizens, a lot of countries question democracy, is crazy, and rather have an autocrat or
dictator.
It's scary shit. But you know, it's only been 80 years or so since we had a world war and scary crap like that. So you have to think it can happen again. And it's great to have artists that, can turn people on to a certain open-mindedness to what can happen.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. It is interesting because, as you both, I'm sure, experienced, like music, one of the more fascinating facets of music is that when you discover certain music, it unlocks all these doors into worlds that you didn't know exist. And we live in this world where, like, here's what presented to you. Here's the music that you're supposed to like. Here's the movies that you're supposed to like, the literature. And when you discover certain types of music, you just veer off into a different direction. And you discover this world of different ideas, different art, different culture. And I always thought that was the most fascinating thing, because through music, I learned about politics, I learned about art, I learned about culture, movies. And I think that one of the things people ask me a lot about my political ideas, but I think that the political ideas that I talk about, a lot of it is just to give a different perspective. Say, like, hey, you can view the world in a different way and you can look at it from a different perspective, and you don't have to be what people are telling you to be. And I think that's an important thing. I think, yeah, I'm a super radical leftist socialist. I'm pretty fucking far off to the right, to the left. But I think that when I talk about these things, it's more a general idea of, like, start questioning why these things are happening. One of my proudest moments was that I played in a band called the International Noise Conspiracy, and we were super radicals. And this guy came to the show, and he was like a fanboy. And he was like, oh, I'm sucking on every word, buying all the records that we had. And we actually brought books with us on tour. We had like a anarchist book fair with us on tour. And he's buying all the books and he's super excited. We come back a year later. I'm talking about something from stage. And that guy just starts screaming, I don't agree. That is bullshit. And I'm like, this is my proudest moment, because that's exactly what you want out of people, that they make up their own mind, and just because I say something doesn't mean it's right. But he, because of us, it opened his mind and he got a different perspective. I loved it.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's kind of like college, you know. You don't have to agree with what you're presented, you know. You debate it if you want.
Yep.
Well, that's a great point.
And I think that's something maybe not dive too much into politics, but I think that's something that's missing today. With social media, we don't debate politics.
No, we just...
We just have extreme opposing views that we scream at each other. Yeah. And I think that for me, any type of, when we talk about politics in our songs, that's the start of a discussion. Yes, we might seem kind of cocksure and be there's this what we think, but it's always a starting point for me for a conversation, a debate, and an exchange of ideas. But with social media today, there's no exchange of ideas. It's just crazy people screaming at each other, basically.
Yeah, just shouting clouds out into space. You're right. You're exactly right. Alan, are you still there?
I just wanted to mention, or again, your YouTube show, which is Dennis Deep Cuts. How often are you dropping a new episode?
I've been doing it. I started doing it a little bit more than a year ago, and pretty much every week. And now I think I'm going to do it every other week because it became one of those things where I'm like, now it's a chore, and I don't want that. I just want to do it because it's fun. So every other week is my plan to drop a new episode. And I mean, I want there to be more conversations, but I live in the ass end of the world. And when I'm not touring, it's hard to grab these conversations. But I want there to be more conversations and not only me rambling about my record collection, even though that's, it's kind of neat.
Well, hopefully some of our Goldmine readers and listeners will check out your YouTube.
I would love it. I think it's a neat channel. And I think that it's one of those deals where I've been collecting records or buying records my entire life. And I'm a huge pop culture nerd. And then one day I was like, why not share these ideas with people and this music? And also I have a pretty vast knowledge of music that I'm like, why not talk about these things? In a fun and creative, inspiring way. And hopefully people will discover some new music and learn a little bit about me and my life, I guess. Yeah.
Very cool. So what's it like in Sweden? What's the weather out there?
We have feet. Let's see. 1 foot.
Oh, my God.
We have 10 feet of snow, maybe? No, that doesn't make sense. 1 foot is 3. I'm trying to do the conversion. Yeah. We have about 1.5 meters of snow, which is it's like up to my waist with snow everywhere right now.
Wow, and that's pretty common.
Yeah, it's where I live. I'm an idiot living up here.
Dennis, one question I do want to ask you that is a repeat of a question that I asked you when I interviewed you at Riot Fest, but I think we're going to get more listeners with this, and I want to put this out there. I asked you at that time, what was that holy grail of a record that you're searching for that maybe one of our readers would be like, oh, I have an extra copy of that. I can get that to Dennis. So I'll ask you that question again. What is that missing holy grail album? And you can't say a Misfits 45 because no one's going to send you one of those, I'm pretty sure.
And that's what I wanted to say. Misfits Calf Cool, because that's the only one I don't have. It is one of those, at this point in my record collection, a lot of the stuff that I am looking for is Misfits Calf Cool or the first Necro 7-inch and, the first Fix 7-inch, stuff that is insanely expensive. I don't know. I mean, the Misfits 7-inch is one of those where I went to a record store, I saw it, and it was maybe $2,000, and I'm like, it's a bit too expensive, and now it's $10,000. And I was like, it's too expensive, I'm not gonna buy it, and now I'm like, regrets.
Maybe someone could send you a banged up copy.
Yeah, I have bootleg version of it from the early 90s, but not really the same thing. And right. Also, a 7-inch that I don't have. It's kind of pricey, but it's the first Mind with Thread 7-inch. There's 4 colors. I have 3 of the colors. I don't have the red one, which is the first pressing. So I don't have the red
Mind with Thread. Brian couldn't help you out with that one?
No, I've been bugging him. I know some of the people that run Discord these days, and they're like, no, that's but it's one you can actually find, but it's quite pricey. But maybe I think Brendan Canty said he might have a copy, so I'm gonna keep massaging him for
That's pretty cool. Well, thank you, Dennis. Alan, do you have any more questions?
No, I wanted to thank you, Dennis, for coordinating your schedule. I know it's not as easy as being in the States, and so working with us to set this up. I just think your music, with all the bands that you do, is so strong. Like Pat said, the messaging is phenomenal, and the collector side of what you bring to the music. I mean, I talk to so many musicians who are like, oh, you know, we just put everything out electronically and it's okay. You have a passion for that, for the actual physical copy. And I think that says a lot. And so thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
No worries. I love talking about record collecting, because a lot of times I do just get to talk about the politics of my life. And I mean, I grew up with albums, and I love albums. And I've had a couple of record labels myself, and I know how important it is. And the physical, there's nothing to replace the physical feeling of that album in your hand. And I love it. I think it's important that everything you do gets put out on a nice copy on vinyl. I mean, I don't mind. People can stream if they want to, but there's something about that. Getting a new LP in your hand is pretty fantastic. And I'm lucky enough that people still care. And I also, at the end of the day, I'm such a fan of music. You know, I'm still that guy that, like, you know, will play in San Francisco, and the guys in Fake Names, like, here's this guy, he was in Void. I'm like, holy shit, you know, and they're like, what? That guy hasn't put out a record in 35 years, and I'm like super excited. So I'm still like a music nerd, and I'm such a fan of music, and it's just exciting. There's so much good music out there, and it's gotta dig and find it.
And also, you know, it's not just the physical copies have all great artwork, and like you said yourself, different colors of vinyl, it's not just a music geek, you know, could collect the art, as the physical art as well as the music that's going to be played, which I love personally.
There's something about record collecting too, where it's like, it's not only, I mean, as I say, I'll buy some records because I want to hear that record. Mm-hmm. But a lot of record collecting is like almost archaeology. Like, you'll find these records and they tell a bigger story, and you can trace stuff that's like, I mean, just buying, like, when I bought my first copy of the Minor Threat 7-inch, the glue had come undone. It was the blue one. And the glue had come undone. And you could tell that they glued it themselves, and that the writing stuff where you glued together, it said, flex your head. And I'm like, someone in Minor Threat wrote that. And now, like, 40 years later, it's in my collection. And it's like, there's these traces of pop culture that's fascinating when you find these type of items, you know? That's a great point.
Yeah. So fans, what can fans expect from you and for this year?
This year, I think I'm releasing one record. I have a project called Backengrillen, which is a doom jazz project.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's three of the guys from Refused. And it's a jazz saxophone player called Mats Gustafsson, who is, I mean, he's way bigger record collector than I am. He has that Discoholics Anonymous. Mm. Like, he's the kind of guy that travels the world with Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth just to buy records. Like, so he plays saxophone. We're putting out a record on vinyl, of course. And that's kind of like a free jazz doom metal type of project. And then this year I'm recording with, I got a band called Invasion, which is one of the bands that I'm most active with. We're doing a record. I got a punk band called Venice Casino. We're actually recording a record in April. And then Fake Names is working on new music and hopefully some shows. So I'm just staying busy, you know?
It's interesting you mentioned Thurston Moore, because I go into local record stores, and he lives around where I do, and they're constantly telling me, oh, Thurston Moore likes this. Thurston Moore was looking for this record.
He likes everything.
I have to finally interview him about record collecting.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a massive record collection. And Mats guy that I play with, that plays saxophone, he's played with Sonic Youth and done records with Thurston. And he's just like one of those guys. He doesn't measure. He measures his record collection in weight.
Wow.
Yeah, because he was like, well, I have this many tons of records. Like, I met him once. He was in Stockholm. He lives in Austria. He's from Umeå, where I live. But yeah. He moved in the 80s. And he's one of the most world-renowned free jazz sax players in the world. I met him once. He was in Stockholm for 2 weeks. He bought 600 albums in 2 weeks in Stockholm. I'm just like, I can't compete with that. That's insane.
I've seen some of those collectors at work that walk into a store, clear a little space, and keep on putting albums in this area.
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane.
Well, thank you, man.
Well, thank you.
Look forward to that, hearing that music.
Yes.
All right. Thanks so much, Dennis.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you for having me, and I'll see you guys soon.
See you soon.
Bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.